Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, back Southern California.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
Courtesy of the call goes to ESPN last Thursday night. A lot of excitement right now in Chicago. Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, Matt Eberflus, and his new style and his new hair and his beard.
Got some riz.
Guy's looking good. He does have some riz. It's true. Yes. Now, is it enough to get the Bears over their win total this year? Get them above 500 in year one with Caleb Williams? We'll find out in a couple months. And Field Yates from ESPN will join us in just a second to talk about that and more. But 20 minutes from now, Ken and I will get into the NBA results from last night. We will talk about the Nuggets bouncing the Los Angeles Lakers out of the playoffs and start to preview just a titanic second round series in the West with Denver and Minnesota. Maybe winner of that series is going to represent the West in the NBA Finals. And we'll talk about Kristaps Porzingis' injury for the Boston Celtics. We'll get to the NHL from last night as well. All our bets for tonight coming up in the Power Hour, final hour of the show. But joining us right now, making his You Better You Bet debut, and this is a treat for us because Ken and I have been talking a lot recently off air about how much we have been enjoying Field Yates on ESPN, whether it's part of like their mock draft coverage, obviously on NFL Live all the time, anchoring a lot of fantasy football content. He absolutely kills it for our friends over at ESPN, and we're very happy to welcome him to You Better You Bet right now, and we want everyone to follow him on Twitter if you aren't already, at Field Yates. You can check out the Fantasy Focus Football podcast. Again, it is on NFL Live, just like constantly on ESPN, doing a great job for them. Field, welcome to You Better You Bet. Nick Costos and Ken Barkley, we sincerely appreciate the time. How's it going?
I'm doing great. Thanks for the great introduction, by the way. Really appreciate you guys having me on, and looking forward to talking about all things NFL draft. And it's a little bit different now because rather than spending 3 months projecting forward on what could happen, now we get to analyze what actually did happen.
And Field, I think with the Bears, if we want to start there, I think what's so interesting is, you know, we have the betting markets, and they basically say, hey, like there's about a 50% chance that the Bears are going to go over 500 or under 500, about a 50% chance or a little more that they're going to make the playoffs versus miss with Caleb and Adunze, and they had a great draft. Just like, I guess what we've talked about on our show, and I'm curious your opinion on this too, like is that unrealistic? Like Caleb is still a rookie quarterback. Like, is the team really ready for that? The betting market says like, hey, like playoffs, you know, almost more than 50% of the time. Do you agree with that, or is that a little unrealistic?
I don't think it's unrealistic, and I think there are a few factors in play. I know that a million people have said this, but let me add on to the choir of people that have. Caleb Williams is walking into an unusual circumstance here. This is about as good of a situation for a rookie quarterback, especially a number one overall pick quarterback, that you could imagine. There have been others that have been in the same territory, but this feels like very much near the top. Great receiver trio. Now, as I absolutely love the Roma Dunze pick, the Bears eschewing the opportunity to draft a defensive player, instead taking one of the best players in the entire draft, regardless of position, in Roma Dunze. Plus a defense that really came on during the last 6 to 8 games of last season. And not to be dismissed here is that the NFC is the place to be right now. As you guys well know, if you were to list, I don't know, the top 10 or 12 quarterbacks in the NFL, I would think it conservatively 6 of the top 10, 8 of the top 12 are probably in the AFC. When you begin with Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, players like that, that really give that team a chance every single season. The AFC is just a much more difficult road for any team to navigate than the NFC is. So the Bears have some real hope right now.
Yeah, they really do. And, you know, Ken and I have kind of been maybe a little more pessimistic about the Bears because of the head coach, but certainly have to acknowledge what Field is saying and the quarterbacks in the NFC. And Caleb Williams could walk in and be one of the best ones immediately as a rookie. Field, if we take the Chicago Bears out of the equation, right, for the answer to this question. So Chicago obviously improved over the balance of the NFL draft. Besides for the Bears, which team do you think improved the most in the 2024 NFL draft and why?
I love the Cardinals draft personally, and I think it was, I mean, they had strength in number, right? They had a lot of picks to work with, and the more players you pick, the more likely you are to pick a player that I liked throughout the process. But I'll go a step further. In Arizona had an opportunity at the top of the board to potentially move down. Now, I don't know exactly what Arizona could have gotten in return, but it certainly seemed like there was action at the top of the board, and Arizona probably could have turned pick four into multiple picks. The risk they ran, though, by turning pick four into multiple picks was missing out on a player who I thought would fill their biggest need at wide receiver in Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, or Roma Dunze, one of those three who are just absolutely incredible prospects and the kind of guys that in a different class, each of them could have easily been the number one wide receiver. So I thought Arizona did well to resist temptation early and then just keep checking boxes the rest of the way. There were like, I don't know, eight guys that they drafted out of their 12 that at some point during the pre-draft process, I'd kind of gotten going on and talked about that player being one of my favorites at his respective position. Arizona still got a lot of work to do. They might be the fourth best team in their division next year. I'm not naive to those dynamics in play, but you can't sort of go from zero to 100 in just one single draft every single year. I thought Arizona did a darn good job, though, given the resources they had available and plugging a ton of gaps this offseason.
Field, I want to ask you about the Patriots and the draft that they had, because, you know, like we're sitting there the day of the draft, and, you know, like it's a betting show where they're like, hey, who do you think's going to go number one, Caleb? Who do you think's going number two? And if you just use the betting market, you're like, well, Jaden Daniels, like he's going to go second. He was a big favorite. But the third overall pick was just really interesting the whole day because it felt like as much as people said, ah, Drake May, it seemed like there were other people saying, ah, J.J. McCarthy, actually maybe going to be the pick, and they end up obviously going with Drake May. So kind of a two-part question. Is it your sense maybe that Drake May was always the guy despite kind of what we heard, and do you think he's the week one starter for New England this year?
Yeah, I got the sense pretty consistently throughout the process that the Patriots were planning to, at number three, take whichever of those three quarterbacks was available. Now, we never thought that it would be Caleb Williams, right? He was pretty clearly viewed as a likely number one overall pick. I mean, going back to really when he took over for Spencer Rattler in Oklahoma that year, I mean, there were already signs then this kid might be special. But between Jaden Daniels and Drake May, once Jaden entered the chat this past year for that number two overall pick, I think the Patriots' mindset, once they had that number three overall pick, was bracing for the real possibility that regardless of how pick two went, we're taking the other of those two quarterbacks. So, you know, one of the realities, and you guys know this better than anybody in the betting market, is that the pre-draft process is so long, and I'm not trying to discredit the people that are making lines because Vegas consistently blows my mind with their ability to pick over-unders and things of that nature. But the draft still seems to be one of the more difficult markets for Vegas to figure out. So I got the sense throughout the process it was going to be Jaden Daniels or Drake May for the Patriots. I know that there were some JJ murmurs and, you know, even some people that would have made the case, even though I think this would have been a terrible case, to sit there and take a non-quarterback at number three. I think the Patriots are pretty content with how the draft fell. And now they've got a big responsibility to hope that they can make sure that Drake May is not a three-year option like it was with Mac Jones under center.
And then Field, you know, we talked about this last Friday on the show. If only like people knew how like dumb these draft markets actually are. We're like, you specifically could tweet something about, oh, I'm hearing the Patriots are interested in J.J. McCarthy, and group chats would go crazy. Like, oh my God, we need to bet McCarthy right now. Just like
the market would go absolutely wild.
Oh, man. So this, yeah. It's not like a game, obviously. Like, you need to have the answers to the test if you're going to feel confident betting the stuff. It makes it a really unique and fun market. But obviously, like, you're guessing for the most part if you're betting on the NFL draft. Extremely challenging. You Better You Bet with Nick and Ken here on a Tuesday. Love talking National Football League with NFL star analyst for our friends at ESPN, Field Yates, on Twitter at Field Yates. field. So many questions, and I think we can ask you here. I'm going to be a little selfish with this one here because I'm a huge fantasy football player, huge prop bettor once we get into the NFL season, and you obviously host the Fantasy Focus Football podcast for ESPN. So if we remove Rome Odunze, Malik Nabers, and Marvin Harrison as answers to this question, give me the skill position player, running back, receiver, tight end, that you are most excited for in fantasy football this season, and why?
Well, timely question. We are filling out a couple of round tables that will be up on ESPN.com, I think at some point in the next 2 to 3 days. And one of the questions was to give us a bold prediction as it pertains to the rookie class in 2024. And mine was that Ladd McConkey leads all rookies, regardless of position, in catches this upcoming season. Ladd's in a really good spot. Ladd's a really good player as well. He obviously went in the top of the second round for a reason, 34th overall. But the Chargers obviously have an awesome quarterback. And while, yes, this is a team that's going to want to play physical and run the football a ton and all that, like, you're going to have to throw the football a lot too. That's the nature of the NFL. And that wide receiver room is borderline barren right now, other than Ladd McConkey. Obviously, Quinton Johnson, a first-round pick last year, did not meet expectations coming out of the gate. And Josh Palmer, also in the mix there, who's probably a better player than Quinton Johnson last season. But the bottom line is that Ladd should be a day-one starter with Justin Herbert as his quarterback. And while maybe there are games in which they do try to run the football 45 times, that's just not how the NFL works consistently. So I wouldn't be surprised if Ladd McConkey has a massive role for the Chargers right out of the gates.
Field, I want to ask you, it's an interesting answer. I said Nick's eyebrow, you couldn't see him on video, obviously, Field. Nick's eyebrows kind of raised when you said that. I think got a little bit of excited, but maybe shares the same opinion on Ladd McConkey this year and his fantasy impact. I want to ask you about some more quarterback draft fits and starters and kind of how we see this stuff fitting together. Obviously, like Michael Penix Jr. and the Falcons was a huge talking point out of the draft, but like that's for us on a betting show, like there's not really a whole lot to do with that. Like we don't think he's going to play, so we can't really kind of discuss things from the betting standpoint for that story. But we can do it with Bo Nix and the Broncos, which almost gets like forgotten about because Penix was so crazy. So Sean Payton drafts Bo Nix with the 12th overall pick. The quarterback room for Denver, Stidham, Zach Wilson, and Bo Nix, who, I mean, if you go by the reports during the draft night, who Sean Payton's in love with, basically, Bo Nix. Do you think Nix is the week one starter? How do you think this plays out with Denver in the quarterback room?
Yeah, I think he's a week one starter, and I wouldn't be surprised if that becomes clear sooner rather than later. It's so funny, you know, during the pre-draft process, I'm not here to tell you I got it all right by any stretch, because there are plenty of things that I wish I had done differently or said or changed in mock drafts, you name it. But I walked back. I was with Dan Orlovsky, my good buddy and star at ESPN, recently over the past few days doing some shows together. And Dan and I were going back through our old chats. And I went to the Oregon Pro Day this year, which was the Tuesday of the first week of free agency. So kind of flew under the radar relative to other pro days, just because there was so much going on during that legal tampering window. And I texted Dano and I was like, tell me if I'm crazy. Dan completely agreed. He was like, I'm all in on that take.
For Sean Payton to draft Bo Nix for the Denver Broncos, and we did see that happen, and Bo Nix being called like maybe like a Drew Brees clone, his ability to get the football out of his hands quickly. Maybe Bo Nix will be the starter for the Denver Broncos coming up in week number one. Field, final question. We have about 90 seconds for the answer. A little later in the show, Ken and I are going to play out pencil, not pen, you know, because it's still April, how we see the AFC playoffs going, right? Here are division winners, our wild card teams, and we're going to play through the wild card round, divisional round, championship Sunday, and see who's going to advance to play in the Super Bowl. Again, pencil, not pen, because it's April. If I asked you right now, and the Kansas City Chiefs are not an option as the answer, who will win the AFC this coming season, pencil, not pen, who are you rolling with and why?
Yeah, Ravens, just because they were that close last season. They were the best team, and they had some pieces that they lost this offseason on defense, obviously. Jadeveon Clowney had his breakout season. Ronald Darby was a serviceable corner for them. But Lamar Jackson's been an MVP 2 times in 6 seasons. That alone gives me confidence this team can be right back in it, especially when factoring some of the pieces Buffalo lost. That would be my pick. But there's a lot of depth this year. Baltimore, Cincinnati, couple of teams, Houston, that certainly think they're going to be right in the mix next year.
I want to ask you about your favorite running back in the draft fantasy-wise between, like, Brooks, Trey Benson, and Marshawn Lloyd, but we've run out of time, and you've been very generous already, so we really appreciate it. Field is on Twitter, at Field Yates. You turn on ESPN or one of the ESPN channels, you're very likely to see Field talking National Football League, and we want everyone to check out the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, getting you set for rookie dynasty drafts, getting you set for fantasy football this coming season. My friend, we sincerely appreciate your time. Thank you very much. Stay well, and we hope to do this in the future.
All right, guys. Sounds good. Take care.
Field Yates joining us here on You Better, You Bet. I really enjoyed that. And some of the anecdotes were great also. Patriots, like Broncos, wishes that he had just nailed that right off the bat with the fit with Peyton and Bo Nix.
Yeah, it's always funny to, like, how did we come to the conclusion info that we got about, like, who certain picks would be in the draft or whatever. And then I always feel like after the fact, you get more kind of like a truth serum kind of an answer, because there's no reason to hide stuff anymore. Like, oh yeah, like I knew a couple of days before that this was kind of what it was going to be. Be like, I wish you'd tweeted it. Like, I wish I'd known that that's what it was going to be. The Bo Nix, Sean Payton thing. It's like, that was like a highly confident kind of a take and an opinion. And then do you agree with him on Ladd McConkey? That's like something that, like, a belief that you both share, that he will lead in receptions, or you're not as bullish on him?
So I don't know if I'm bullish to that degree, but I do like Ladd McConkey a lot. I mean, look, it's like Josh Palmer, like Quentin right. Johnston's corpse. And then Ladd McConkey, and like this, and
is
this
Quentin
machine drafted.
Corpse? He's like 22.
Yeah, might be. Yeah, well, his career corpse, it might be over already for Quentin Johnston. Like, this regime drafted Ladd, he's probably right. going to be their number one receiver this year as a rookie. I don't know if that makes him my favorite non-top three wide receiver player, but I do like him a lot. On the other side, we'll get back to the NBA. Great interview with Field, and we'll talk about the Nuggets and the T-Wolves in round two.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.